Everyone, thank you for taking the time to tune into This Week in Mormons. This week, here we are. We are bringing you an international Latin American show this week, folks. It is everything you've hoped for from all those years of listening to Santana. It's good. This is a game changer.
It is as English speaking a Latin America tour.
Many people don't know that Belize is English speaking, and understandably so, given its location. You would just assume it's Spanish speaking.
No, it's a British colony.
Yeah, it was a British colony. Also called British Honduras once upon a time, if I'm not mistaken.
No. They hate that name. They can call each other that, but we can't call them that, Jeff.
Oh, okay. So that's that kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was wrong.
I want to apologize for any background noise there may be. I'm actually
Alice sitting in a hot tub right now.
I'm not joking. I literally could do this with my feet in the pool. I may jump in at some point because there are stools poolside here. But I'm out at the pool because the internet is better, and so there's a whole resort full of people that are getting a little bit of this wafting into their window tonight.
So what you're not going to get, though, is the screaming, wild Al Dome. This is going to be a very calm episode, is what I foresee.
Yeah, no, it'll be.
And as I'm sitting here in the Comfort Inn and Suites in El Paso, Texas, I, too, do not wish to disturb the neighbors.
I legitimately have done this show in the most bizarre places, from like a closet to with a snoring roommate in Ukraine.
I forgot about the snoring in Ukraine. That was funny. And you could hear him in the background the whole time.
Lofts in Berlin. We've been all over. So why not at a pool at some resort? In San
You're
Pedro.
The pool in Belize, and I can see Juarez from my window right now.
I'm in San Pedro. I took a little prop plane. It was my first time on a little plane with a propeller. I was very excited. We hopped over to San Pedro, where I then took a little boat up the side to where I am now. It's been lovely.
And so you just got some. You're just doing some sweet, like all inclusive thing or whatever.
No, it's a good little resort, but it was just the cheapest thing I could find on points. This is my life.
Are you with sandals?
Wait, what is the thing with sandals? Is that it's famous for? Is it like a joke, or is it supposed to be like the singles resort? Like, what is the thing?
I don't quite know how to pin it down. I think it is something like that with sandals. These are all inclusive resorts. Maybe it's because Michael Scott was big on it, and that had something to do with people kind of laughing about sandals. I don't know.
That was the first time I'd heard of sandals. Is it like? Is it amazing? Is it great?
I get the impression it's more kitschy, but I don't know. I've never been to a sandals resort. I cannot speak to this with any sort of authority.
I can't either. I have no idea, but I'm curious now.
Well, maybe you should hit up a sandals resort and go to one of those ones like in Haiti or Jamaica when you feel like you're
the
like,
only sandals resort you can possibly go to is in Jamaica. Let's be honest. All others are just secondary.
Well, my goal is to go to an impoverished developing country, but to an exclusive area owned by a resort or a cruise ship company with barbed wire fences to protect me from having to, you know, spend time with the natives.
That was my Haitian experience. That, absolutely.
That is the goal.
See, exactly
you can say, I have been to Haiti because I landed on the north shore of the island with armed,
when you interact with the people, armed they're guards. All the people that are like paid there to be there. They're very nice because they were making money by cleaning up the linens on the beach.
Yeah, it's basically Disneyland.
People, for them.
People in character. Yeah, you know, it's like it's really an authentic experience. It's very.
Wait,
serious.
So tell me about El Paso. I've never been there either.
You know, you've never
been. Sandals of America.
I get very excited when I've been somewhere stateside that you have not visited. It makes me feel accomplished. So that's good. That's good news for me.
Well, and lucky for you, you'll hold that title for a while because I have no intention of ever going to El Paso.
You know, it's actually better than I thought it would be.
How so? Motel 6 has a pool?
Whoa. I'm at the Comfort Inn and Suites. And there's no okay. and there is no filtered body of water to be found anywhere. I even brought my swim trunks in case there was a hot tub, but alas, no such luck. So I just came out here for work with some colleagues. We had some meetings and stuff, and now that's done. I took a break from my San Diego-ing. Flew out here from San Diego for a couple days. Going back to San Diego, I was in the middle of my Christmas break. And
They just needed you.
They needed me, but it worked out beautifully because this falls during in-law time, so it's like I'm not leaving my wife like at my mom's house or, you know, she's like with her family and it's and it works out okay. And so we've had a lovely time. So, you know, El Paso has its charms, I think. There's interesting culture here, beautiful desert scenery, if you're into that. It's been very cold. It's like 28 degrees outside right now, I think.
Oh, gosh.
And
why would you live there?
And my room's heater doesn't really work, so it's got that going for it. I have about four blankets I'm using at night.
I did not pack for this, Jeff Openshaw.
And I actually did sort of pack for this. I was ready. My colleagues showed up. Not checking the weather reports at all. One of my colleagues shows up wearing a short sleeve button up shirt and a pair of khakis and a pair of boat shoes with no socks.
That would be me. I would be that guy that's I'm in a t-shirt. Do I need something else?
And I was like, I think you're going to be cold. I do declare.
I've literally flown into the Swiss Alps in wintertime with a hoodie. And I'm like, I should have a jacket too. I made a huge mistake. What happens now? When you always look around, you're like, is there anybody that can fix this for me? I don't have what I need.
I know. I thought about shopping. Here I'm in El Paso. And I've taken going back tomorrow, enjoying more of California. Has also been unseasonably cold.
What is the local fare of El Paso?
Well, it's a great place to find. I've had some solid Mexican food. So that
street mangoes. Do you get street mangoes there?
You throw them at children. That's what you do. But it's so weird if you've never been here because, you know, you're right on the border. And especially when you drive on some parts of I-10, right near downtown, that part goes right up along the Rio Grande. So you're just driving on the freeway. The Rio Grande is right there. And then it's just like Mexico right across the way. And it's just such a stark difference. And you feel silly right there, too, because that part in Texas is up on an embankment. It's a bit higher because of the mountains. So you're like literally in America on a hilltop overlooking impoverished Mexico, both metaphorically and physically.
Looking down on them.
You are literally looking down on Mexico from there and saying, ha ha, ha ha ha, like Mitt Romney would say. Is there
any sort of a wall there at this point?
There are fences and stuff. When you drive, if you go up to the border, you'll see Border Patrol agents parked all over the place and everything. I mean, it's a very big binational area because Juarez is about twice the size of El Paso. And people come in and out. You know, there's plenty of people who come in and work. It's just like in San Diego. A lot of people come across the border because they have jobs in the States and they have cards that allow them to cross over and do stuff. Same thing happens here. And so it's a very interesting place. Not a lot of time spent here, but it's been real. You know, tonight, for example, this is not just my colleagues. This is anybody, okay? But why do people think that their relationship with their pet is analogous to the one that I have with my human child? This is a problem.
How do you mean?
In the world. How do I mean? People will talk about their dog, about how the dog is like having a kid. And I'm like, no, shut up. It's not. You're not correct in what you're saying right now.
Jeff, I've seen people that are much closer with their pets than you are with your guy Matthias.
I am unbearably close to guy Matthias, literally, because he will not leave our bed at night and sleep. So he is like always there.
I have a sister that has a dog like that. Same thing. It's the same thing.
No, you're one of them, Al. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. I'm telling you, this is wrong.
Jeff, have you somehow earned some sort of honor by impregnating a wife and having a baby that I don't get by having a schnauzer?
Yes, I have. Yes. The schnauzer had no say in the matter. You took the schnauzer and made it a pet. There was no.
That's why it's so interesting.
There was no third party that helped you bring the schnauzer into the world. And the schnauzer is not. Anyway, it's this thing. Everyone does it. It's so things I've learned as a parent.
They're trying to empathize, Jeff. They're connecting. Common ground is what they're
looking
for.
People might do that. And I've had this happen across the board. This just happened to happen tonight when we were at dinner. And I was just like, okay, it's fair.
Well, how does that conversation go? Jeff, I love that you have a baby. Now listen to me talk about my baby.
It's basically just like that. Like, really, I'd rather tell you about my Rottweiler, which is just the same as your child. I'm like, okay. You keep enjoying your craft brews. That sounds wonderful.
Would you say, when your baby dog learns to walk on its hind legs, we'll be excited for it too. Until then, you shut your mouth.
Exactly. I'm very, very violent.
Yeah.
In the way I express these things. The other thing I've learned being a parent is the general public thinks it's okay to touch your kid. Like, oh, yeah. Where did this come from, everyone?
No, that's fair.
Just because I have a baby doesn't mean you can walk up and touch his feet or touch his little hands. I don't know you or where your hands have been. You know what I have to do after you touch his hands? I have to wipe them down.
Hey, Jeff. Hi. How are you? Oh, you have a kid. What am I supposed to do to the kid? I shake its hand
or
shake its little foot.
You can touch guy's foot or hand. You know him. You're family. It's fine. I'm saying
if I ran into you on the street and I knew you, but I'd never seen your kid, I'd say, hey, Jeff. And then I'd feel obligated to somehow gesture towards
But these are people who don't even know me. That's what I'm saying. Like, you'll see strangers and say, oh, what a cute baby. And they everyone wants to talk to the baby. And then they're like touching your kid. I'm like, stay away from my child. I don't know you. What is this?
Jeff, what are you afraid that there's some sort of terrorist trying to get your kid?
I am afraid they're Syrian refugees, in fact. That is what I fear. Absolutely. No, it's just like, dude, have your own kid. Like, I appreciate you thinking my child is adorable, and like, I genuinely enjoy the compliments of that. It's very
I never
nice
thought
of you.
You'd reach this level of pretentiousness.
It's not pretentiousness. It's,
I'm
it's,
telling
it's,
you this
it's,
right
it's
now,
you're
Jeff.
A
when
stranger
I have a kid,
touching
everybody's
my...
welcome to touch it.
Really?
Please. High five my kid. High foot it. However you'd like, you can squeeze its little cheeks.
Oh my god!
If I know you, if I don't, you could be a homeless, smelly
See,
man.
See, you're gonna say that, still, but then you're gonna be tired. They're gonna be tired of needing to like disinfect your child because you don't know where any of these people have been.
Well, my wife just won't let me take the child out. Is what I'm assuming will happen, yeah. And that's what should happen.
Well, in that case, I mean, you could put up signs and allow strangers to come into the home and squeeze his cheeks. That's fair.
Or
her
I just
cheeks.
Wrap the baby in some Saran wrap and you touch it through there, and I just sort of cycle it through. It'd be like the tearaways on ski goggles.
Sure, yeah.
Just rip a thing away.
Yeah, exactly. Because I totally get references to alpine sports. I'm all over those.
Or motorcycling, Jeff. It's an either.
Well, anyway, so those are the haps. I'm glad you're having a good time in Belize. I'm jealous. I've always wanted to go to Belize. It's great for diving. So it's known for its diving.
I am en route tomorrow.
Are you? Are you certified?
Obviously, I'm certified, Jeff. But the last time I went was like 10 years ago. And I think I'm going to have to lie and say that I went like 6 months ago so they don't make me retrain or something. But it's going to be good.
All right, just don't get the bends or anything, okay? Cool. All right. Cool with that?
Yeah, sure.
Are you going to?
They have a decompression chamber here.
You should go out to the blue spot, that place. That would be awesome.
The blue hole?
The blue hole, yeah, you know, the one, the blue so hole.
That's what they call the pool at my resort. I was going to take a picture by and be like, I did it. I went to the blue hole. I'm in Belize and love to see it.
Today I saw in El Paso a very obvious like Japanese garden that was nice enough to have a sign in sort of faux Japanese style text that said Japanese garden. It was very nice of them to, you know. I said, so it's not just a clever name. You're telling me what it is. It's great. So, Al, we do a show about Mormon news.
That's what we've been doing
this
whole time.
My understanding is that is what the people come here to hear.
Yeah, that's probably fair. So, in these stories of Mormon newsdom, I feel like the most relevant thing that we can share right now is that we figured out what the real face of Jesus looks like.
Okay, I'm in.
Now,
tell me more.
Mormon lore has it that you know the picture of Jesus where he's looking at you? You know that one? You've seen it.
Oh yeah, the one, yeah. When he looks at me. You mean his head headshot, right? The one that we just put
Yeah, the one that we put out everywhere.
Like the headshot. The one when he's wearing the white tunic with like the red shawl or the red robes.
We need a Snopes for Mormon things. I think there might be some website trying to do that. But the rumor has it that Boyd K. Packer once saw that, or when he that was being worked on, he said that looks the most like him of any painting I've seen, or something to that.
Oh my goodness! So sadly, Elder Packer is no longer with us, so he can't verify what Popular Mechanics is publishing here.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I've always gone off of some well-intentioned Sunday school teacher that may have told me a lie, and so that's sort of what I've had in my head. And now we see that they nailed down what Jesus would look like by nailing down what a first century Jewish man would look like. So much like Jeff and I and Thomas S. Monson and Dallin H. Oakes all look the same
because we are white men.
because we are white 21st century males.
Of Northwestern European descent, yes.
Yeah. We nailed down what Jesus looks like, so good. Turns out he had curly hair and short curly hair, right? Not long hair, as obviously he would. And I don't know, like, how would you describe his face? I feel like he owns a video rental store. This is sort of how I'd describe this guy. Again, you know the face.
You are the worst human. Oh, you are the worst.
I'm just saying. I'm saying just looking at the face, you'd look at it and you'd be like, "All right, this guy's an entrepreneur. He's an enterprising individual."
Sure. Yeah. What's interesting though is the way they went about doing this. I mean, they didn't just like say, "Hey, what did a man look like in the Levant back then?" They dug up a lot of different skulls and bodies actually of the era to try to graph them out, see what was, you know, they did a lot of good science to sort of reconstruct what Jesus would look like based off of Semite skulls. Of course, that's a problem because they're using Semite skulls.
How does the poem go? Roses are red and violets are bluish. If it weren't for Jesus, we'd all be Jewish.
There you go. Exactly.
He was the last and the first, the Alpha and an Omega. Kidding.
But I think there's pretty interesting science that goes into figuring these things out. And of course, some people point to the Shroud of Turin as proof that Jesus had long hair. The Shroud of Turin being the supposed shroud in which Christ was wrapped before he was entombed, and reportedly has basically like his visage on it from the blood that was on him that dried up, as if it, like, the blood from his face sort of showed his face and everything. And that's
was there hair blood?
It just showed stuff. What do I know? I don't know. All I know is, also, we know the church has no official stance on the Shroud of Turin. So.
Nor should they.
And we'll learn about a lot of things the church has or does not have official stances on later on. But they think, the average Semite male at the time of Jesus was 5'1", with an average weight of only about 110 pounds.
Oh my gosh, I would have been a king among them.
So if Jesus...
I may have been Goliath. Goliath may have just been a 6'7", well-intentioned man that was trying to rent an economy car at the airport.
He was just an adorable Philistine. I mean, what did he do wrong?
And David was renting to him, and he said, "This man is much too large for our size car."
And then he decided to get out his...
And he murdered
his sling.
Yeah. No, that's... No more humiliating death than by a 5'1", righteous Jewish guy that comes and kills you. Like, you're just humiliated. It's like getting crossed over in basketball, but your life and death.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a good read here.
Steph Curry, this brings me into a good point. Steph Curry is a parallel to David in the Old Testament, where, I don't know, Pau Gasol would be Goliath of sorts.
I'm doing too much of like a... My laugh has evolved into like I have emphysema or something. It's terrible.
It's a questioning laugh. You're questioning whether it's worth laughing at.
I never question whether it's worth laughing at you. I know. Okay, like, we're talking about every fiber in my being type stuff. Come on.
All right, touche.
This is totally what I know. Totally. So anyway, it's a good read, though, Popular Mechanics, seeing the science behind reconstructing what Christ might have looked like instead of the depictions we often see. Even within our own church. So it's kind
of... it would be amazing. Go with me for a minute. We die. We go back to heaven. We get there, and there's a 5'1", curly-haired, short-haired Jewish guy. It's like, "You guys made it." And we're like, "Yeah, where's Jesus? Can you point me in the right direction? Where's that guy?" And he's like, "Dudes, I've been here the whole time. I'm right here." And we're like, "Oh my gosh, look at you down there. You're so cute." That would just be a funny sort of get to heaven moment, I think.
Al, I hope that you're
because we're looking for the bearded man with the long flowing hair.
Yeah.
And he's just there. He's like the opposite of what we've been looking for. We've been looking for the wrong Jesus, Jeff.
I really hope that your perfected resurrected body is like 5'3". I hope that we decide that your height is actually an abnormality, an aberration of some kind. And it actually represents a deficiency in your quest for perfection.
When I'm resurrected, I come out to like 5'1", I'm like, "You sons of bees. How dare you call this
That person? Is going to be your perfect body. And your beard will no longer be red. So at least you have that going for you.
That'd be really funny.
Or maybe your hair will be red to match the beard. Either way, I'm like,
oh, no. You in a perfect state, you actually look like Jonah Hill. I'm like, that's what we were going for? And they're like, yeah, healthy. Healthy is a little bigger, buddy.
Al, he's a 2-time Oscar nominee. You could do worse.
I really could.
You could do worse. All right, folks. Let's see here. A couple interesting...
What would you say is the next most important story?
I would say the next most important story, to me, honestly, is that people on Facebook are mad at Elder Oaks.
Oh, go on. Yeah, sure.
So for a little bit of context, I can maybe read the whole thing. Maybe. And bear in mind, there are many people who love this, but there are also many people who are like, what the what? So I will read this to you. It is only 5 paragraphs, and I'm a great reader. So listen in. A few years ago, I analyzed the Christmas cards I received at my office and home. There were many, so this was not a small sample. Significantly, my sample was biased toward religious images and words by the fact that most of the cards were sent by fellow leaders or members of my faith. I sorted the cards and I received into 3 groups. In the first group, I put the traditional cards, those with an overt mention of Christ and or pictures evocative of the birth of the Savior. Only 24% of the cards I received were of this traditional character. In the second group were those cards whose pictures and visuals were not at all religious, but they did have the words Merry Christmas to identify the religious origin of the holiday. This was the largest group, 47%. In the third group, comprising 29% of the cards I received, there was no mention of Christ or Christmas and no religious visuals at all. These cards had words like season's greetings, happy holidays, peace in the new year, or peace and beauty of the season. A few were so daring as to refer to peace on earth or faith, hope, and love, but none had any pictures suggestive of religion. For Latter-day Saints, Christmas should be a time to celebrate the birth of the Son of God and also to remember his teachings. In reality, his life has had greater impact on every part of this world and its history than any life ever lived. His gifts to us are the greatest gifts ever given, the assurance of immortality and the opportunity for eternal life. Those are the gifts we should celebrate at this and every Christmas.
True.
The final paragraph is solid. So, Al, do you see anything here that would rile some parties up? What do you see here as the scandal?
Let's see. The scandal obviously is that everybody didn't send the right Christmas card to Elder Oaks. I could just see him having, like, if you were shopping for him a gift, he would be stressful to shop for because you don't want to get the wrong thing because he wouldn't even have to say anything. He'd just look at you and you'd be like, it's a stupid gift. Give me that back. Pampered Chef sucks. I'll never do it again. And that's what he's doing.
He's like, only Lay Cruzette for me. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Terrible. No, exactly. And so that's essentially what he's saying. He's like, I like one kind of Christmas card. Do not give me anything with a dove or a tree on it.
No.
Or a snowman. And heaven forbid, a child ice skating. That is not what I'm celebrating. We celebrate only Jesus. It's a very, very religious holiday for him.
See, it's, yeah, and it should be. I totally get both sides of this. I mean, we should remember the reason we have Christmas, why it is so important, and the great blessings we're given through our Savior. I don't personally take offense to receiving a holiday card that is like one of these like merry and bright things, and it shows a happy family. Like, to me, that's still warm and moving and great, and it's fine. Like, this makes me think about our ward Christmas party, right? We just had our ward Christmas party last week. The Elder Quorum was in charge of it, so I was in charge of it. I can't tell you how happy I am to have that off of my plate. But we had a mix, right? I mean, it was a party. It was a festive atmosphere to celebrate Christmas with Christmassy songs and games, and also to have words about the Savior. Like, did I drop the ball by not making the entire ward Christmas party an overt meditation on the birth of Christ? Did I fail? Apparently, I might have failed. I don't know.
No, well, this is the thing. Is Elder Oaks, like, this is a little bit more of an observation where he's like, hey, just throwing this out there.
Yeah,
let's keep it centered on Christ. Great. People are kind of up in arms because they're like, how dare you tell me that my cards I'm sending aren't good enough. His job is to remind us about Jesus. So, like, let's not get all up in a hissy when he does his job. When he takes a minute to put a little math behind.
But do you feel like he's doing the job of reminding about Christmas while denigrating those who did not send the appropriate card.
Yeah, well, I mean, say what you will. I would hate to be in one of the other piles that he was like, profligates.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, I'm not sending you a card any this year, Dallin. I was just going to send you a nice, like, you know.
I'm telling you, he would be stressful to buy for. I would be like, no, we cannot send him Rudolph.
You'd say, like, no. Of course I don't want the hoverboard. I fly too much. They don't allow you to check those. Come on.
Burl Ives would not float here.
So see. I don't know. So the internet is mad. Many people are upset about it. I understand that a bit. I don't know. I also think the brethren don't fully know how to use Facebook effectively. But that's another discussion.
I actually like this as a Facebook post. It's shareable. It's interesting. It's good. Good work, Dallin. I want to see more like it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Let's see. Other interesting things. So you know the Meet the Mormons football coach guy.
I am familiar with that wonderful, potentially Oscar-winning documentary.
Louis Matalamalolo. Malolele. He's very nice man. Hey, I'm sorry, but sometimes those island names are hard to pronounce. And I think I have a woodpecker here with me.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. Somebody's trying to get into the... I'm standing in the booze counter here. I could be a bartender.
Maybe right somebody's now. Trying to kick you out. Maybe it's after hours.
It definitely is. But anyway, so he's gotten a lot of offers. His agent has for him to go and interview with other coach or other teams. Mm-hmm. Right now he's at Navy.
He's at Navy in Annapolis. Yeah.
And he's accepting. He said no to all of them except for the one because he feels like he should hear what they have to say. He says it's very close to me. This is my faith. Faith is everything to me. I got to hear him. Now, that's what always bewildered me about BYU is they have the faith card they can play with any player. How do they not have amazing teams every single year?
Whatever, man. They're going to rock the U of U in the Las Vegas Bowl. It's going to be amazing.
The Holy War, as they say.
The Holy War coming to Sin City.
It's such a great attempt at a good rivalry.
I know. It's like they're trying to force like Ohio State and Michigan. Like, guys, you can't. It's just not the same. I'm sorry.
It's just not there.
The interesting thing here, though, about Neil Matolo is obviously he was in it doesn't matter because, you know, people move on. But he was in Meet the Mormons, you know, because he coached at Navy. And, like, how interesting is that? An active Mormon is at Navy. Because if you have an active Mormon coaching at BYU, everyone's like, whoop-dee, flippin-do, right? He would never be in Meet the Mormons if he were already there.
That's true.
Bronco was not in Meet the Mormons.
Bronco wasn't in it.
No, because there's no point. Because, I mean, most BYU coaches are LDS, right? I think maybe all – I have no idea about this. I'm just going to say every BYU coach has been Mormon. I don't know if that's true. I'm just going to say it. If it's wrong, folks, you know to take me to task on Facebook or on our website. Do what you got to do. It's fine.
Fix this terrible wrong.
Yeah, it's fine. But it's like, I don't know. For me, it almost removed it. Like, hey, you were cool. You were in Meet the Mormons. You were at Navy. You were a Mormon in Annapolis, which sounds like a good 90s movie. Like a kid in King Arthur's court, a Mormon in Annapolis. And I don't know. It ruins the specialness of it. Like, I feel like they have to release an edit of Meet the Mormons. It removes his segment, which should be very easy to do because Meet the Mormons is just an anthology, really. And there's... It's like writing the new Star Wars or any episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. All you're doing is mixing in different segments of different parts.
Do they do that? Do they reuse segments?
On what?
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
I think some episodes have been the same, but the show's tailor-made. Like, he visits all these different places. They can mix and match, right? They can change shows all the time. Say, this one was good from here. Let's change the theme and put these together.
You've broken the inspiration for me. I was such a fan.
You can still be a fan. It's brilliant. It's brilliant filmmaking, and Guy Fieri is an American treasure.
He really is. All right, cooking through these. Let's see. Peter Vidmar, who is a native of your Southern California.
Well, he's from the 949. I'm not quite worthy of that area code, but yeah. Sure.
He would always come and speak when I lived down there. Like, he was very prominent. He was everywhere.
He would. I think when you lived there, he came and spoke at one fireside. But if you want to choose to say,
he had a YSA conference, and he was also at a. That might have been it. Two things.
You went to a YSA conference when you lived with me?
Oh, yeah.
Where was I?
You were dating some woman that broke your heart later.
Probably. That's what they tend to do. That's what they tend to do.
One of many.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's a former gymnast, Olympian, medal winner.
He won 2 gold medals in the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles, no less.
I think that's just an award for being really small. It's like a tiny award. Maybe.
That's how you're going to wind up like Peter Vidmar when you resurrect. You just be careful there, buddy. You be careful.
Just a spry, wiry fella. So he's called as a mission president. So somebody's going to get a 2-time gold medal Olympian. It's like having Dale Murphy as your mission president. Somebody had that. It was a real thing.
Dale Murphy was a mission president?
Oh, yeah.
Was he? I didn't know that.
He sure was, Jeff. And he played baseball. That's all that matters.
Where was he a mission president?
I don't know. I'll Google it now.
I'm Googling it right now. I'm going to beat you.
Dale Murphy, mission president.
Back in 2014. Sorry, this is very important, folks.
He was mission president of Boston, Massachusetts.
Good for you, Dale. Now there's a movement to get Dale in the Baseball Hall of Fame. That would be great.
Dale and Pete Rose. Once they end one, they'll bring in the other.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen for Pete, based on this week's events. But, yeah, he's going to be a mission president. We don't know where, but Peter Vidmar will be a mission president. You might remember Peter Vidmar also came under a lot of flack and had to bow out of the U.S. Olympic Committee a couple years ago. It might have been far enough back during the Mitt Romney campaign, even when there was more scrutiny on Mormons. But, yeah, for his support during Prop 8, he was kind of pressured out because that did not gel with the USOC. Basically,
it's madness.
But he's a good dude. I've been to one of his firesides before too, and that'll be great. He'll do good work wherever he goes, I'm sure. Also, this is worth reporting on because he is more special than the other 300 something mission presidents because he's an Olympian. I want to see an article on everyone else. Just like when I wrote that article about how we covered Kate Kelly for some reason, and I want to see Kate Kelly getting a job at Planned Parenthood. Yeah. I now want to see
all the other people that got jobs at Planned Parenthood.
They're kicking you out?
I'm sorry?
Nothing. I just got your G-chat, Al.
Oh, I like that I can G-chat you and then you obnoxiously announce it.
That's a funny thing to tell people. They're kicking you out of the pool. But I will happily edit this out if you do not wish this exchange.
No, I don't care.
To be it. It's not a problem for me.
No,
so,
I'm just trying to be professional and keep this going.
No, that's funny to say, hey, guess what? They're kicking me. Did someone come and tap you on the shoulder and say,
yeah, I've got a few minutes. They're shutting it down.
The woodpecker came and said, get out of here. It's over.
That's essentially what happened.
All right. So let's talk about a couple things around Islam. There's been a lot of stuff with Mormons and Islam over few weeks. So. And, of course, we've talked about this a lot because of refugees and such. Deseret News kind of collated a lot of the different things that have happened in the past few weeks. In one article, you got the story of a Dr. Fahim Rahim who befriended an old lady in Idaho. I really love the story out of Australia where some Muslim clerics went to a multi-faith sort of exercise at one of the church buildings. And the call to prayer came, and they prayed in the church building. The photo of that's gone viral. It's been very popular. And it's very, very cool. Also, you had Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona spoke at a mosque on last Friday regarding religious tolerance and American unity. Flake is everywhere. So a lot's going on. A lot is going on with Muslims and Mormons. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm okay with
it. It turns out we have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, I think it's... And then lastly, there's an article here out of the Davis Clipper, which I assume is Davis County's paper in Utah, about a guy in Kaysville who is Muslim, sort of growing up a Muslim.
I actually think this is Davis, California. This is the UC Davis on-campus paper.
That is incorrect. So, but I like to think, yes, the veterinary school is publishing this. anyway, about growing up a Muslim in Utah, especially somewhere up there in like Davis County that's not perhaps as pluralistic as the Salt Lake area. That's a lot more just... you know, tightly LDS, but how it's been a positive thing, and he feels like a part of the community and loves his fellow Mormon.
He went to school at U of U and chose to stay there.
Yeah. So that happened. Also, a quick note, a couple temple notes I wanted to pull in right here, okay? So first off, the Tijuana temple was...
Tijuana.
I'm sorry. The 13th temple in Mexico, the 149th temple... You think they planned this? Because I think the next temple that's going to be dedicated will be Provo City Center, which will conveniently be a nice round 150.
Oh, jeez.
Do you think they sort of stacked the deck to make sure it lined up that way?
You know, I wouldn't have, but knowing Ballard, yes.
Right. So President Ukdorf went down to Tijuana. They dedicated that beautiful, beautiful temple, and now it's raging. It's going. And they've lost a number of workers for San Diego because they're gone. And now they work there. And then other temple news, ground is going to be broken, if I can use passive voice, for the Kinshasa Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Ground will be broken.
And the Barranquilla Colombia temples in early 2016. I believe both of them were announced in October 2011. So it's been 4 years in the making. And they've said...
Barranquilla looks legit.
Yeah, it looks kind of... It looks like it's kind of going to follow that... the same style, maybe even Rome and others, but maybe just have one spire in the front.
That Congo temple, that looks like a distribution center.
Yeah, I think we should talk about this. The Kinshasa temple is arguably the most austere-looking temple I've ever seen of the modern era. I think it's very interesting.
Are they just like renovating an old building? Is that why we're stuck with this?
I don't think so. The interesting thing is its design in many ways is evocative of the Freiburg Germany Temple, which, as many of you know, was built in communist East Germany with very simple materials, but the church was able to get it done. And they've since renovated it and expanded it and made it nicer. But this is very plain, and that's why the roofline kind of follows that same style as Freiburg. I don't see an Angel Moroni, at least not on the spire. It could be somewhere else. And this goes along, though. The church has gotten into a program of trying to make meeting houses a little more representative of the place they're in. So it doesn't mean they'll be poor if it's a poor area, but not to make an ostentatious North American-style meeting house in a poorer part of some African city. They want it to blend in more and not seem like they're sticking out as too opulent. And so perhaps the temple in Kinshasa, which is the capital of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, perhaps that is going along with that. Those design choices, you know. Usually we use temples, though, to make a statement, to build a big, beautiful building that everyone sees and marvels over. And this is definitely a much chiller prospect. It's very interesting.
Yeah, no, it's downright boring, Jeff. Don't sugarcoat it.
Okay, I won't sugarcoat it.
Congo's getting the shaft, while Colombia, what'd they ever do?
Just FARC. Terrible.
Yeah. Pablo, he didn't earn the temple down there.
They already have one in Bogota, so Colombia finally gets to have a second one. And Barranquilla is where Shakira's from, so I really think this is worth it.
Fair enough. All right, other big milestone for the church. We have 30,000 operating congregations.
That's fierce.
As of right now. Now, we have our 30,000.
Yeah, we'll probably top that number before the end of the week.
You think so?
I think we organize congregations pretty often.
Like a new one a week?
There's enough Mormonism going on now that I think something is organized every week somewhere. Yeah, for sure.
Now, I believe we need, I love the first comment, we need 86,000 more for the second coming.
That's the rule.
What is it, 116,000?
116,000. We got a ways to go, folks. Sorry. Still got to wait.
Congregations.
We've got to wait for missionaries to show up in Iran and North Korea. It's not going to happen until then.
So just keep your sinning in check as much as you can until you see that go. Once they organize the last congregation riding a red horse, that's how you'll know.
Al, can I take us back to Africa for a second?
Yes, please, Jeff.
So I love this. If you follow some of the Mormon newsroom sites, not the general one, but the regional ones, you find a lot of very interesting, I'm blanking on what they call it, press releases and such put out.
Articles.
So articles might be the word. So the church is speaking about dowries, which is something we don't deal with at all, you know, in North American culture. But of course, a dowry is when a prospective groom has to give a sum of money or other to the family of his fiance. Is that a microphone? And the
How you doing, dude? Pretty good. Come down. Just talking to a friend.
What is going on here? Yeah. This is wild.
I got a friend hanging out down here.
I thought they were closing it.
My name's Alex. Well,
I'm Al.
Al?
Yeah.
Do I just have to talk for the rest of the episode now, and you're just going to say yes or no?
Recording with that?
Yeah, I am. I'm doing a little show right now. We're just a podcast.
For real?
Yeah.
Cool.
You're famous now, Alex.
Oh,
you're all over the world, dude.
Oh, man. Me and Al. Bring this to the world.
There you go.
Straight from Belize, baby.
No, I'll be out of here in just a few, too. So, well. No, so Jeff. Jeffy.
So anyway, the doubt. I understand if now your responses are going to be the equivalence of nods or shaking your head. So the church is speaking out against dowries and saying, no, this is not cool. It's not in harmony with church teaching. It's not in harmony with the gospel. And they feel very confident in that, saying, hey, this is like other Christian denominations are getting in line with this as well. And saying it's silly, especially because it's delaying the blessings of marriage for many people who cannot afford the dowry, which is one of the very interesting way to look at it.
Well, that stuff is funny though, because it's like this whole culture that we don't ever think about, right?
Exactly.
Like that element. I mean, Jeff, remind me when you proposed, was there any thought of taking care of the bride's family in your at all? None.
I offered them everything I had, but that would have decreased their net worth. So they opted against it.
In fact, they likely felt shafted by you marrying there. They were like, really, Jeff? You're going to marry her?
Him?
She's like, well, he's really funny.
They call it.
Well, I hope so.
They call it, what is he, funny or something?
What is it? Better be.
Yeah, so that happened. Al, do you just want to go or do you want me to read some story? I don't know how comfortable you're feeling now with having company.
Give us one more.
All right.
Give us one more. What do you got?
I'm going to give you two more quick ones. I think we can call it that. So,
All right.
Here comes one from glorious Peggy Fletcher Stack, everybody. Peggy has done better work. We shall say. This is, the article says, Mormons are all for female ordination, survey shows, but there's a catch.
What is it?
So the catch is that Mormons, according to the survey, but by the way, the survey is not a random sample, it's a targeted sample, is that Mormons are okay with female ordination if church leaders come out and say female ordination is happening. So it's like, okay, well, yeah, I feel like if President Monson comes out and says a lot of different things and encourages us to do this or that, we're going to be, you know, okay with
it. Yeah, very supportive.
I don't think Peggy's breaking a lot of ground here. I think she was trying really hard to have maybe she didn't have like enough of a clickbaity, provocative article for a while. She really needed something to drive that traffic. I'm not sure, but this is a pointless article, Peggy. I'm sorry. This is just...
good data. That's good data that says, you know, of those sampled, everybody would sort of, well, do you really think that that would be the case though? Do you think that that would be like 90 or an overwhelming majority would be fine with it?
Well, I think a lot of the church, I mean, I do think there are many who would have issue with it. Even when the priesthood change happened, there were Mormons who were like,
honestly,
uncomfortable
any
with
doctrine
it.
Doctrine change at this point, I think it's going to be met with overwhelming opposition. Regardless of what it is, whether it's defining,
yeah, there might be, yeah,
policy. I mean, literally every step is going to have half for and half against. I think.
Yeah, so I agree with you. So I don't know. I mean, the problem is the sample wasn't just a random one; it was an opt-in sort of survey. It was a lot of people, but at the end of the day, it still doesn't necessarily represent the church.
Yeah.
Overall, and lastly, folks, the Sci-Fi Channel. Or Sci-Fi, however they call it now, has a new show called The Expanse, and it has a subplot that talks about Mormon stuff. And to get to the cut to the chase, basically it takes Mormons' history in the 19th century and projects it farther into the future, whereas we've been driven from Earth, finally, and now we are colonizing space. And so this whole show is not about that by any means, but apparently that's a little sideshow plot deal where the Mormons are out colonizing.
So what is this, like a Battlestar Galactica revisited?
Sort of. It's actually one of Sci-Fi's first space series since Battlestar Galactica ended. So that's interesting. Well, and so, you know.
I love, what a great show.
Battlestar Galactica.
Me and Dwight Schrute would have been good buddies, man.
So it's kind of interesting that they're doing that. Also, if you've ever seen the movie Starship Troopers, which I don't recommend, but in a different part of my life, I watched R-rated movies like that and didn't care.
Before you wrote the blog post.
In the very beginning, like the prologue, they also made a joke about Mormons being driven from Earth and that they had colonized outer space. But then they're the first ones to get slaughtered by the alien bugs. So it was kind of like this silly little nod, but it was still kind of funny they bothered to say, oh, yeah, and in the New World Order of Earth, the Mormons fled and tried to colonize an asteroid so they could have their peace. I guess it's what we're famous for, trying to flee.
That we have built a reputation of.
Trying to flee and protecting families. That's what we're into. So
that's fair.
Anywho, folks, you can join us on social media.
Oh, please do.
We're all over things like Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, many places. And we encourage you to join us there and take part in the conversation. We would enjoy that if you were so kind to do so.
I agree. Everybody should. Also, come hit us up, thisweekinmormons.com, email contact at thisweekinmormons. Love to get some email. That'd be fun.
It would be fun. So other than that, Al, you have a wonderful time in Belize.
Yeah, me and Alex are signing out, man.
Okay, well, you and Alex have a great night together.
Belize, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Alex, and Merry Christmas to you. And that's right, everyone. Merry Christmas to everyone.
All right, buddy.
We'll see you all later. Bye, Al. Bye, folks. Have a good night. This Week of Mormons is great.